Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with Amy Babinchek and James Kernan. How you doing, James?
Hey, Amy. I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
I'm still pretty good, even though I'm back from vacation.
I can relate to that. I can relate to that.
You know, I would
welcome back to reality.
Yeah, I know. I'm physically here. I'm not sure that I'm mentally in my place yet. But it's Monday. I'll get there. It's a good vacation when that happens. You come back.
For those of you who don't know, 3 weeks on a yacht and listening to the waves splash it probably puts you in a vacation trance. But Amy, any quick highlights before we dig into the headlines? Anything? Some of your favorite things? Because I'm dying to hear.
Yeah, so this is a new boat to me. You know, I bought it last year, but due to family things, we didn't get to use it much. So this is really our first real significant big trip.
Yep.
And we were able to take 3 weeks, go over to Canada. So we're on the Canadian side of Lake Huron over in the North Channel. We went to a boat club event in Little Current. So we were there for 4 days of great events and speakers and dinners and, you know, just meeting and talking and having a good time with other boaters. And then we headed off to the wilderness. And those of you who don't know, the Canadian North Channel is considered some of the best boating cruising ground in the world. They usually cite, you know, Bahamas as number one and the North Channel of Lake Huron as number two. I'm not exaggerating. It's really, really, truly, truly like that. It's just islands and wilderness, and it goes on for about 100 miles, and it's just fantastic. There's a small number of boaters that come through there.
How fun. I've been boating maybe like on houseboat trips, but those are typically a week, not 3 weeks like you. Yeah. But did you hit any weather? Did you get any weather out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, you can't be gone that long without having some weather. Fortunately, the weather didn't interfere with us a lot. And there was one really bad storm that came through. And we were anchored in a place where the pink granite cliffs were on both sides of us. We were like in a corner.
Oh.
A high cliffs. And the storm was going to come over the top of those. And those cliffs were going to protect us. They protected us in a way we didn't expect. The storm went about 10 miles south of us. And we were sort of sucked into a zero wind zone. So while there were tornadoes on the islands just south of us and huge 50, 55 mile an hour winds, we were on the side of the cloud that sucked all the air out of the space, and there wasn't a breath of air at all. We could hear this thunder, and I actually made a recording because it was so incredible. The thunder rolled for 55 seconds.
Oh boy.
Wow. It was incredible.
Yeah. I love the big storms.
You better. Yeah. Where you live.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And even out on lakes and, you know, big masses of water, it's exciting to enjoy Mother Nature. So good for you. Welcome back.
Exciting. But, we try to avoid it. I mean, a friend of mine got hit by a waterspout, which is a tornado in the water.
Ooh.
Their boat took a direct hit by it out in New Jersey. They're making their way back to the Great Lakes, and a waterspout came right down the channel straight at them.
Oh, that's got to be
very, scary, scary stuff. But we did not have any scary, scary stuff. We went swimming, we hiked, we boated and anchored, and had that great experience at the boat club activities, and just a really wonderful time. Even got my cat out in the kayak a couple days. So,
Wow. Good for you. Good for you. Well, sounds like you had a great time. And
yeah, I'll just keep talking about this for the entire podcast today, if you don't mind.
You know, it is a fun topic, but we probably should dig into a little bit of the current events.
Yeah, I suppose so. I know a lot of things went on while I was gone. I was not out of touch. We can talk about that too, but let's talk about the question of the day first.
Yeah.
Question of the week is, should you have managed service contracts, but more importantly, or maybe just as importantly, is your business going to be worth more if you have those managed service agreements? Mm. Some people don't like them. You and I do some M&A work. We both run into people that are just like, no, I don't have any contracts. My clients have been with me forever, right?
It's more common than you would think, but yeah, you're right. I seem to run into that a lot lately. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really common.
Yeah. And you know, I think with the older generation, you know, their word maybe means more. And I've always told people, I would just say, yes, you know, in general, your business will be worth more, but more specifically, it'll be a lot easier to sell if you had mm-hmm. contracts in place. And I think, you know, from the business owner's standpoint, I think it's important to outline the scope of responsibility, you know, the term, the price, especially when you have other team members, and your customers are going to want to know, and your team members are going to want to know. I always like putting things down in writing for whatever reason. I think it's a good thing to have those in place. And then, you know, if the real question is my business worth more with managed service agreements? I think that's kind of a scalable question. And what I mean by that is if you're a small one-man band, or you've got a small book of business, 250K and below, I could argue that it doesn't really matter. It makes it easier to sell, but I don't know if it's going to move the needle from a valuation standpoint. But
it's a red flag.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, when you're selling your business, you want to avoid red flags, right? And this is one that you know, right? You may get surprised by some.
Yeah.
Things that are important to the seller or the buyer that didn't occur to you, but contracts are something that should occur to you. That's something that they're immediately going to ask. And some people will just hang up the phone if you say no. They won't even give you a chance to explain it.
Right, right, right. And I think as your business grows, you know, for, you know, 500K or a million in revenue plus, I think absolutely it's important enough and it does increase the value of your business. You know, you could argue that, but I mean, in my experience, I would say yes. You know, so I think it's important to do.
Yeah, I do too. In my business, I had one client that refused to sign a contract. He was with me for 20 years, and we didn't treat them any differently than any other client. He just was anti-contract for some reason. And I said, okay, but, you know, we're still, as long as you're okay with us just not asking you every time we want to do something, we're just going to go about and do our work.
Yeah.
And I also bill them at a higher rate. It's like you get billed at our non-contract rate and you could save money by signing this contract. And he just, no, wouldn't do it. So, you know, 20 years of paying more money, but that's what he wanted to do. And we didn't treat him any differently, but it's just, too, in our M&A work, run into people that have no contracts. And it's not a problem if those clients have been with you for a very long time and you have been billing them as if they were contract clients. And like you said, though, as your business grows, Contracts are one of those systems that you need to have in place to show that you're a well-organized, well-run business.
Yeah. Yeah. Documentation, you know, setting expectations in writing. I think all those are really important. Yeah. So yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Yeah. It's just one of those things you got to do. So, so if you don't have contracts, get after it. Your clients are not going to balk. They're not, they really won't. I mean, I just gave you an example of one that did, but I have 80 other examples of my other clients that didn't balk. So you always got, there's always one outlier, right?
Yeah.
Do you have contracts? Please. Yeah, we do. Everybody's under contract. Well, except that one guy, but there's always an exception to everything. So, but get after it, get those contracts done. It is meaningful for your business. And if nothing else, it's just helps the buyer, feel like you're a legit business, right? That they're talking to you for a good reason. So while he was gone, ChannelCon happened. You were there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. ChannelCon out in Nashville at the Gaylord Opry Convention Center. That place was amazing. I have never been there.
It's huge.
It was like its own amusement park. It was one of the biggest conference halls I've ever seen. And it looked like more of an amusement park, not a convention center, because there was a river going through several sections of it, restaurants everywhere, shopping, you know, it looks like some kind of fancy resort amusement park, but just an amazing conference. It's probably the best one. That's one of the big conferences that I go to every year, because there's a lot of strategic vendors there.
Yep.
So it was basically a 3-day event. They had trade shows for two of those 3 days. A lot of great breakout sessions on marketing, leadership, just all over the map. You know, good content, but great connections. You know, it's, you know, people do business with people, and I like that face to face interaction. And this is one of those few events where, I mean, I see a lot of people there, so I was pretty busy, but yeah, I think this is one of the best ones yet.
I agree. Well, I wasn't at this specific one, but I agree about that at ChannelCon in general. I was encouraging the folks in my mastermind groups to attend that.
Yeah.
It's in Nashville, super easy to get to from just about anywhere, and inexpensive. And the thing you get at ChannelCon that you don't necessarily get at any other conference is you get the top brass from those vendors in attendance. And I know that's why you were there, was to talk to those folks.
Yep.
And that's why MSP should go to that event, because that trade show is like none other. One, it's enormous because everybody there practically is a vendor.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're there for the same reason that you're there. It's to meet people and talk. And so when you go and you're talking to a vendor, yeah, there's going to be some of the, you know, lower level booth people there. But, you know, if you start asking questions and look serious, you're going to find yourself meeting with the VP or the owner or the channel development manager, or, you know, somebody like that. So you can really get good contacts with your vendors at that event like no other.
Yeah. And it was, you know, a big event, like you said, but it was really well laid out, very spread out. And it's when you go up to talk to someone, there's not 92 people in front of you. And, you know, you can walk up and have meaningful, you know, conversations with people. And that's one thing I appreciated about it. But yeah, great event. So I look forward to that one next year.
Yeah. So that's on the must attend list.
Yeah.
For sure. Hey, little bit of a abrupt transfer, but since we're talking about events, I saw a video this morning on LinkedIn, and it's by Dean Trimpalis of Empath, and he was in attendance of an event last week, which goes unnamed, and he witnessed a sexual assault incident. And this isn't the first time in our industry that this happened. And, you know, he kind of titled this thing, Nobody's here to F you. right? Everybody's there. It's quite the headline. It's shocking. I think it was meant to be shocking, right? To draw people's attention to it. Everybody should listen to this video that goes to conferences, because not only does he talk about what he witnessed here and has witnessed at other industry events over and over and over again, but he also talks about what you can do, right? And by just not rescue somebody, not be confrontational with the aggressor, but just disrupt the situation, and allow the person that's experiencing the sexual assault to then rescue themselves, right? Get out of the situation, go somewhere else. So it was a really good video on a really important topic. And I'm reminded of when I was in Australia speaking at an event and at an after day, I was at a dinner and I asked some of the women, I said, well, you know, I've only been to the SMBIT Pros event here in Australia, which is a fabulous event. I've been there 4 times for that conference now. And I said to them, you know, what other industry events, you know, are there here in Australia? What other events do you attend? And there was, I was just met with silence across the table. And then after a minute, one of them said, this is the only safe one to attend.
Oh.
It broke my heart.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And, you know, if in Australia, conferences are chasing away females from attending, it's happening here too. And that's really what that he doesn't say that in that video, but you can deduce that that's what's happening here too. If it's not a safe space, women are not going to attend.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out. I mean, I like, you know, I don't like the headline, and I honestly don't even, it hurts my heart to just hear the topic. It's such a heavy topic, but it is real. And yeah. I guess the saving grace of all of that is I like his practical application. I haven't seen the video, but I like what you just shared, that how you could safely intervene, how you could stop it. And I think the key thing is how you can safely take action and disrupt things. You always have to be aware of your own safety as well as the other person. But, you know, it's as a male, you know, if I saw something like that, I would want to intervene. And, you know, getting tips on, you know, the appropriate way to do that or a safe way to do that, I think is good. And
just you have to keep in mind the people that are working at the booth are paid to be friendly to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not coming on to you. They're not inviting you out to dinner because they like you. They're inviting you out to a sales pitch, and it's their job to do those things. So,
I like, you know, it's our responsibility to help keep an eye on other people. I mean, it's, there was a tragedy a week ago plus of a couple, I think, getting harassed and physically assaulted in Cincinnati. And what broke my heart about that article is nobody intervened. Everybody just sat back and watched. A bunch of people took out their video cameras because they thought it would be cool to film it. You know, why didn't somebody step in? And I know that's a safety thing when something like that is happening, but, you know, you could call for help or do something to, you know, just, I hate seeing that stuff, you know, so.
I do too. Yeah. So anyway, this is a really, really well done video. So I would encourage you to have a listen. It would be worthwhile for sure.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about some good news.
Okay.
That was kind of a bummer, but it's a reality.
Yeah.
Our economy is growing steadily, and they're blaming AI.
AI in the headline again. Oh my.
AI in the headlines again. This time, you know, good news.
What a shock.
You know, the good news for our industry, right? More is being spent. IT spending is up 8%, which is a lot. 8% is a really good number. So IT spending is up 8%. And businesses are starting to see some value from it. And anytime there's massive amounts of change happening, that is opportunity. And so there's a lot of opportunity in our space right now because of AI.
Yeah. I love seeing the economic trends improving, you know, and especially as it relates to our industry, that was great news. You know, what I liked about that article, Amy, is it talked about IBM. And normally when you talk big company, big corporations like that with AI, you know, the first sentence of that paragraph that was talking about IBM says AI is already enabling IBM to cut costs, projecting an increase in annual savings from $3.5 billion to $4.5 billion. All right, so they're saving $1 billion with AI. And to me, the best part of it was that they're not looking at decreasing staff. They're not going to do layoffs. It was more about they wanted to, there were some layoffs that they had pointed out, but they basically had backfilled all those opening spots plus hired more people around the programming and sales side, business development side. So, you know, they're investing in growth, which I think is a good thing. So
I think that's really important. I think that's what we're going to see nationwide across all industries, that the new technology won't necessarily result in fewer jobs, but it is definitely going to result in different jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is an article from Business of Tech, and I know you're going to put these in the show notes. And there's another one that is also from Business of Tech. It's been doing some really good stuff lately that is talking about a survey from YouGov.
Mm-hmm.
50% of non-users of AI believe it could jeopardize their job security, but only 18% of people that are using it think that it's going to jeopardize. So if you're using AI, you know more about it, I guess it's less scary, right?
Yeah,
you can see exactly. The purpose for it.
And it looked like in that article, there was a generation gap where the younger generation is the one who's really embracing and using the tools and see the upside opportunity. And it's the older generation, unfortunately, that are less likely to be using the tools, but at the same token, see AI as a real threat for their job security.
Yeah, so. It's who moved my cheese problem, right?
Yeah.
There's an old business book out there called Who Moved My Cheese, and it's about change. And, you know, some people fight the change. And if you're older in the thing, you don't have to be old, but you could be 35 and have been in your career path for 10 years. And now suddenly AI comes along and puts a right turn in your career path.
Yeah.
No, and that can definitely happen. That probably is happening to a lot of people. They can see the writing on the wall, and that makes them nervous and maybe doesn't want them to see that in a positive way. But I think if you are open to it and you are able to see the future and you're ready to learn, the opportunities are going to be there for you.
Exactly. It's an amazing opportunity, regardless if you're young, old, whatever. It's an amazing opportunity in front of you. You just have to act on it. And we talk about AI often on the program, almost on a weekly basis. And I love that old quote from Sharon Sobel. I remember saying, you know, AI is not going to replace you, but a person trained on AI will or could.
Yep.
So you take advantage of that AI training opportunity and you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I agree. You know, surprisingly to me, it said in that same article, people that are in the working class, mm-hmm. that are in the service and in sales, you know, end of things, they're really nervous about AI and they think it's going to replace them.
Hmm.
And I don't think that's going to be the case. Where we see AI really making the most impact for businesses are on much higher wage earners. So I think people up in middle management and marketing and sales, they need to learn to adopt AI, even legal, medical. These are the real targets for AI right now.
Yeah, that's a great point. You're reminding me of a conversation I had with an executive just last week of a big publicly traded company outside the industry. But he was talking about AI in their business and repeated almost exactly what you just said around, you know, the ones who need to be afraid are the, you know, senior leadership, middle level leadership, but it's the working class. Those are the ones that are really going to benefit from this because of job security. You know, you can't replace that hands-on stuff. And we even talked about the trades. So, you know, other industries like, you know, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, those are all hand-on trades, automotive body repair, painters. Do you know how much money they're all making now? Like right out of, you know, their internships or their journey, the apprentice programs, they're making six figures right out of the get-go. So those hand-on, you know, traditional blue-collar jobs, those are more and more desirable because there's such a work shortage of those. So
yeah, those are skilled trades. The skilled trades have always been good jobs.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, there's lots of skilled trade people in my family, electricians, plumbers. My dad was an iron worker. You know, those are skilled trades. They make good money. And, you know, the carpenters, the home, you know, those home builders, these people are always going to be in demand. They'll probably end up using AI too, right? It's right. Not just about holding a wrench and a hammer. It is about being smart. And if you're the smart person in the trades that's embracing these new technologies, your income will really soar.
Yeah. Bingo. Exactly.
Yeah. So I was going to talk about my vacation some more, but we can hold that for next week.
We'll talk about that forever.
You know what I wanted to talk about, and we still will save it for next week because we're gone kind of long today. But I want to talk about, you know, that work-life balance thing. I know you and I have similar approaches to it, and I think it's worth discussing. So maybe we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Right now, I just want to remind everybody about the summer freebies over at the smallbizthoughts.com blog. Snap up those freebies. That's probably coming to an end pretty soon. There is a limited time on those offers.
Yeah. Yep. That is coming up. I ran into some of the other consultants at ChannelCon, and they've had great engagement on those. So if you haven't taken advantage of those, there's some sweetheart deals. So check out that. We'll drop that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. And where's your event in September, James?
Yeah.
We've got to get signed up for that.
Yeah, that's right around the corner, September 25th, 26th. It'll be in, technically, it's Tampa, the Tampa area. You fly into Tampa, and it'll be in the St. Petersburg area. So looking forward to that. We're going to be meeting for 2 days. We're staying down by the beach and then a quick 10-minute ride for 2 days. We're actually, Marketopia is hosting the event. So we'll be in Marketopia's office and get a behind-the-scenes tour and get to talk to their executives. And you know, biz dev is really important. So we'll be talking a lot about biz dev there, along with AI and M&A and all sorts of great topics that MSPs are dying to learn more about. So Awesome. Check that out.
All righty. Well, I think that wraps it up for today. Thank you all for listening to another edition of the SMB Community Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.